hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce today Christina Jester, a Remerge graduate and Center for Social Innovation participant. Christina, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Well, I grew up in a very loving, highly dysfunctional family. So there was a lot of sexual abuse through my childhood and teenage years from family members like my uncle and also cousin and outside of my brother's friends. And so once my parents got divorced, which was another pivotal moment, my mother tried to live vicariously through me. And so she held a lot of expectation. She always, if I made an 89.5, I would get 3-hour lectures. I wasn't ever really spanked since I was 6 years old. And I was never grounded, although my other siblings were, but I got lectured. So my self-worth and my shame and all that shame-basedness came from all those lectures. And so when I was 14 years old, I was saved at church camp. And I started teaching the Sunday school, sorry, for the preschoolers. And within a couple of years, we ended up stopped going to church. And so that's whenever the enemy really sunk his teeth and his claws into me. And that's what started my 21-year addiction to meth and cocaine and hallucinogens and marijuana, but mainly I was a junkie. And then another pivotal moment was whenever I finally in 2014 was fed up and just knew that I was tired of that life. 21 years was my whole adult life. So that's a long time to be in that darkness. And so I chose to get clean. I moved back to Oklahoma City and got another charge and went in and got and took care of my 60 days county time. And then I was praying to God, even though I never prayed to him in my active addiction. I always just thanked him for things, but I just felt like that was all my worth. Like I felt like he had so many other people to have to help that I was not worthy of that help. And so when I got, I had prayed for another way out. And so in March of 2016, I was picked up by a bounty hunter for a bond that was actually thrown out at my court date. And so I went in through the front doors with no handcuffs. And that's when I knew that it was God answering my prayer. And so when I was there, I was only there for a few months and I got given this program, Remerge, which is a transitional program for women and children to keep them out of prison. And normally you have at least 30 days to wait in jail, but they were like, we're coming to pick you up on Wednesday, which was 2 days away. So that was even another sign that it was God that was intervening in my life. And so while I was at Remerge, they house you at, what's it called? First Step. I'm sorry. First Step Treatment Center. And there was a woman named Sina Masterson that's there. And she comes and brings a Bible study and takes girls to church at Southern Hills Baptist Church. And so I started doing that. And then I rededicated my life. And that totally changed the perspective and the dynamics of my life. And then I got baptized the day before I got out of treatment. So I was like starting on a clean slate and ready for, I jumped in with both feet and both arms into Remerge because I just wanted better coping skills instead of shooting dope to hurt myself. Because 16 of the 21 years that I used to die just because I felt like everyone deserved better than me. I just had no self-worth whatsoever.
Wow. I am so sorry for what you dealt with as a child, especially, but your strength is really admirable. So what I would love to hear more about is, what's the main thing that kind of pulled you out of that darkness and helped you start to find your self-worth again?
Staying connected to my community. I'm a graduate of REMERGE, which was my court order program. But for my sober living, I went to Branch 15 because I knew I wanted faith-based facilitators, which is a transitional program that's owned by Life Church and by Amy Groeschel. And so, and then after that, I went to a sober living community, which is called Hope House OKC, just because I knew I had a lot of work to do. 21 years was a lot of time. And the Lord did not give me my children back until after I graduated all three programs, which is actually almost unheard of. But he just knew that I had a lot of work to do on myself. And so just staying connected to those communities, being able to be in community, because the actual opposite of addiction is community. So just staying connected, not isolating, not going back into those old ways of thinking, because relapse is definitely not part of my story. He has delivered me from the want to, to use that as my coping skill, because I've been given so many and I've been given so much information from all three programs I've been in. And I have the hugest body of Christ and recovery, probably more than one person deserves. I have a group of strangers that love me more than I could have ever imagined. And so also my higher power is another thing that keeps me inspired, and asking only for his will and trusting his timing in my life. That's a huge thing. I'm known as being queen of waiting in the wait, because I feel like the blessings are on a shelf. And like, as long as you wait, you always get something that you never thought you could have. But if you just wait, you can have that top shelf blessing. And also I look for the providential moments in my life. And I voiced them. Now, providence, it means it's a timely preparation for the future eventualities. He just prepares us for what is in his will and what he has meant for us. And so I have been given a gift of being able to discern that and see that and voice it. So I'm very grateful for that fact.
Oh, that's so amazing. So your kids, you said you got them back after about 3 years?
Yes. Yes, I did. That was going to be my proudest moment.
Oh, man. Spoiler alert. No. Well, tell us about today.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. Tell us about what keeps you inspired today. Like, obviously, I'm hearing a lot community and I'm sure your kids. But, you know, what keeps you going?
Just the drive to be better every day, be better than I was yesterday. I'm definitely not perfect, because only Jesus Christ is the perfect one, but I just try to be his light. I ask him every morning to please use me to the best of my ability and leave him in charge. Let his will, not mine, be done, and to use me as his vessel, and how can I please him? And so I feel like I'm kind of like a bridge for things. I'm a connector in a way, because he's always used me for like giving somebody a phone call or giving somebody a phone number or just passing a card on. And I've really been that bridge to help get a lot of programs connected as well. I mean, as REMERGE, Branch 15, he's been able to just use me in that fact, even today, because I'm actually, I'm interning at Palomar, which is like the super center for domestic violence. And so I just really feel like God has put me in a bridge to be able to make that relationship with the courthouse and them a better one.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I was curious what the Center for Social Innovation is, because I hadn't heard of that before.
Okay, so Center for Social Innovation, the woman that is behind it all, her name is Ariel Moore. And she actually came 10 days before me in REMERGE. Wow. So I've known her since the RAW. Yes, ma'am. And she's an amazing woman. She has an amazing story. And she's like, she was like the poster child for, well, just the center for REMERGE while she was going through the program. And so she would go and she would advocate, because she does not look like she would have been an addict at all if you was to look at her. Mm-hmm. And so her dream was to really get education to us that never thought we could have it. And so she partnered with OSU OKC. And now this program is called Center for Social Innovation. This is only the second year. So they only had like, I think 11 or 12 participants last year, but she was brand new. So it was just like, it was extremely raw then. So this year there's 31 participants. There's 23 of us that are full-time. So she's just like the next step. That's what she calls it. For the addicts that never thought that they could go to college, they are there to support you. They put you in leadership groups. They get you certificates. I mean, and they pay for everything. They also pay us $10 an hour for 25 hours a week to be able to help supplement income. So that way we can just focus on that. Another step for ourselves. Awesome. And I do really well in program settings. So I knew that it was an amazing program. And to be under Ariel's leadership, I was just super thrilled about that. But so I really feel like this year, this they call it a cohort, is the one that people are really going to be looking at. So we have to be the superstars. We have to be able to actually change lives. And we also have this group called Things That Matter that's on Fridays. That any college student can be in it. That's part of OSU OKC or OSU. And so there are three students that are part of it. But what we do is right now we go to the city center in War Acres and we do a birthday party for all the kids that come to that after school program. We've only done, this is going to be our second month to be able to do that. So we're having a Halloween thing, which is kind of cool, but we're also like partnering with Joe's Addiction, which is a coffee shop that's in Valley Brook. For the homeless, we're going after the homeless and the children. And so, and we're also partnering up with Banging for Jesus, which is like a gang related ministry. And so we're just trying to get out there and, you know, show that there is second chances, and even more than that, that you can just change the whole dynamic of your entire life and your whole, and your thinking. So.
How cool. So which project are you the most excited about?
Well, there's so many. I mean, we're doing Dare to Lead by Brene Brown. So anything by Brene Brown is amazing. We're doing The Five Voices, which is by Giant. And it just teaches you about what you are. I am a nurturing, connecting guardian. But I mean, I've always known I was a nurturer. You know, I've taken many, many tests and went through Kazone in a life church and always found out that I'm the encourager. Always. And I'm like, okay, God, show me something different. Because I know I'm an encourager. But, you know, that's the main thing. But and then we're also doing a spinoff of Toastmasters to learn how to public speak. Oh, and cool. So that's really exciting. Yes, ma'am. I mean, we're doing Success Strategies, which is actually a college course. And actually, I am doing Intro to Addiction just so as another college credit. So that way I can just know the dynamics behind why we do what we do and the mentalities of it. And it's a really, really well class. And so I think they're one of the only ones that have an actual addiction counseling program here. And my professor, Mr. Fronheiser, he's the one that brought it to it. But what I really feel is pretty cool is like, and I know Ariel is a praying woman and she's a godly woman. And so she called me one day, cause like what they do is they give you assessments, like five or six different assessments, and they try to help you evaluate what is your purpose, what is your passion, because that's what they want you to do. And she is the one that goes and advocates for those second chance employments, ones you never thought in a million years that you could get. But she goes and advocates for us and allows us to have the internships. She called me one night at about 8 o'clock eating some chocolate and was like, hey, have you ever thought about being an advocate? I was like, no, I don't even know what that is. And so I'm going to school here. They have a program for an associate's degree called Crime Victims Advocacy. Mm-hmm. And so whenever she sent me like the details and the credentials that you had to have, like it was all this bachelor's degree and this whole big list. But then in parentheses, it said, or the associates at OSU OKC for Crime Victims Advocacy. So that's what my major is. And cool. So then, like I said, I'm interning at Palomar, which is a blessing in itself. And so I don't know, I just see God's direction. And so anything that she says to me, I take to heart because I know that she wouldn't tell me unless she had prayed about it. And she has known me for so long. She told me one time, she said, I will advocate for you until, even if I lost my job. She said, just because I know you and I know that you deserve so much more than what you see in yourself.
That is so cool. That sounds like a great path for you because I could see you really going to town for someone. Yes, I love that. So when you picture your future, what do you see as our next question? So that ties in perfectly.
Yeah, right. But like I said, to become the crime victims advocate and hopefully get to work for Palomar. Mm-hmm. So that's like a really, I would love to do that. Because actually what's funny is like the building that they are in, that's where Remerge started, with North Care right above them off 11th and Hudson. And so like that was when they were in the RAW. So North Care got a new building on General Pershing. And so Palomar had moved in. They had just started in 2017. So they moved in above us. And then Remerge got a new building, but that was before I graduated. Right after I graduated, excuse me. So it was like, I feel like it's kind of nostalgic because I'm like rebooting my life back at the place where I started, but in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. So I want to do that. And I want to be a voice for the people that don't have one, mm-hmm. and be able to advocate for those ladies that don't know what's going on and what options they do have. Was supposed to get married on July 17th, because actually with this magazine, I was going to be known as Christina Phillips. But my fiance, and he might get mad at me for saying all this, but it's okay, because it's a huge part of just who I am in my recovery. He relapsed on alcohol. So now he's in a treatment center, just because we were together for 3 years. We were supposed to be married on July 17th, and he drank the night before. And so that night I was like, that was the hardest decision of my life. And everybody keeps saying how proud of me they are. But it was just like, I just knew that he was better than that. And that I didn't want to start our life off like that. Mm-hmm. So he's able to work on himself for the next year. I feel like God did that for me, because that way he's getting closer to God, because he's in a faith-based treatment center called The New Beginnings. It's in Conway, Arkansas. Well, it's Houston, Arkansas, but out in Arkansas. And I get to focus on my Center for Social Innovation program for the next year. So that way I didn't have to worry about him. God just provided that, so that way we could grow together. And I really feel like I was trying to do it in my timing, because my father, my father, Donnie Krug, he just passed away at the beginning of September. He had been battling stage 4 prostate cancer for 5 years. So he had 45 rounds of radiation. He had 6 rounds of chemo, and that almost killed him. And then he had these radium injections that they do in Europe, and that just done him in. But I got to have the best. I mean, like, he went so peacefully that even the preacher was like, I've done this for 35 years and I've never seen a man or a woman have such a peaceful face. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted him to be at my wedding. And so I was trying to have it in my timing. And so now I just want us to be able to grow together in Christ and to be able to do it in God's timing. So.
Well, I hope that that goes smoothly and that you guys get to have the wedding that you wanted to have. And yeah, you deserve that. So tell us about what is your proudest moment so far.
Oh, when I won my boys back is the biggest one. And I won them back. It'll be 3 years in April. Whenever I went to go try to get them after I graduated all three programs. And actually I was able to get a forever home from Hope House OKC, which is just a home that they own. And I can live there forever if I want. They actually just celebrated their 10 years last night, and they had just bought another apartment complex that's on one block away for graduate housing, because this is the season of graduates wanting to stay connected to them. And they are all about homelessness and eliminating that for women and children and their families. And so whenever I went to the Remerge Legal Aid, she said that there was absolutely no way that I would ever have custody of my sons again, just because of the last standing order. She's like, there's absolutely no way I can do anything for you, because it was the last standing order was therapeutic and supervised visitations. And so, but God, my story is a huge but God story, on the fact that within 11 months, God brought them home to me. And every time we went to a court date, she was a godly woman, but like she hadn't been real active in it. And so like every time we left the court date, she was like, man, he's really showing up today, you know? And by the end, every time we went to court, she would say that. She's like, man, he was really in there today, huh? And I was like, yeah. She's like, cause this stuff just does not happen. It does not happen. And I've done this for so many years. And I said, it's but God, you know? And so, whenever we finally won it, she was like, there is no denying that God was all over this. And I was so grateful to be able to do this journey with you. And so my sons are 19 and 16 now. And my oldest son, I had a really big, proud mom moment not too long ago, because their dad is still an active addiction and an alcoholism. He's a real hardcore alcoholic. And so they had trauma from both sides, a lot of trauma. And so, but I always had a really good communication with them on that fact. And so whenever actually they they had went with my ex-husband and got taken away by DHS because they did child abuse against my oldest son. And so they were trying to give them back to me in 2014 when I first started to try to get sober and move back to Oklahoma City. And so I told my boys, I was like, you know, I've always been able to take care of you. I was a kind of a functioning addict on the way that I, or a responsible one. As long as I had them to take care of with the worth part, then I could take care of them. So I was like, well, I don't know when the addiction is going to come back and take all that away from us. I said, so y'all get to choose and make the decision on whether you want right now or the rest of our lives. And so my oldest son was like, I want the rest of our lives. And it took this many years to do it. And so whenever it was probably just a few months ago, he told me, he said, Mom, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I realized that I could have either followed suit and been like, you know, had the family curse of the addiction and all that, or I could stand alone and be my own man. And I've decided to stand alone and be my own man. And so, like whenever he was with his dad, there was 2 years that he had to go to a bunch of facilities. Cause me and him, we were like best friends. He was ADHD and I really kind of feel like I'm undiagnosed ADHD. And so we just like, we're on the same level. And so like he was had a lot of anger and stuff because he wasn't able to talk to me. And so he was in facilities. And so he lost 2 years of his schooling. So when I got him back, he was 17 years old and was a sophomore. And I said, well, you're smart enough. You can go get your GED if you want. And he said, no, Mom. He's like, you're nothing without your high school diploma. And so he's a senior this year. He's going to be 20 when he graduates, but he wants to go in the military. He has since he was 4. And so I'm just super grateful that neither one of them want to have that life. Even though it was all trauma, they've been able to come to the realization that it was all for the good. So.
Well, that's thanks to you.
Thank you.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you to help us reach other wildly capable women.